All right, so that brings us to this morning, and today is the last Sunday in our series, Take It Personally. Next week we will move on from this, but I've had a good time. I got to give a track yesterday to the pumpkin farmer man, and had just a little quick conversation with him, gave him a track, and so next week I'm going to go and get the pumpkins. And I'm going to say, hey, well, why don't you come out tomorrow and watch the kids get the pumpkins? It's probably going to, you know, it is. Sunday, though, is going to be a big pumpkin selling day for him, I'm sure. So pray for him that he'll be able to come out and be a part of it. So his name is Mark. So pray for Mark. Got to witness to him this week. Anybody else get to give a track out or share their faith with somebody this week? Anybody got one of those to tell? Dennis, you paved the way. You didn't witness to the guy, but you paved the way to be able to witness to him, right? Maybe this week, though. Trusted you. Yes, there you go. Yeah, those are sometimes we miss. We don't realize the opportunities that the Lord is giving us, right? So, something like that to reach out to somebody. That's good. Anybody else have an opportunity to witness somebody this week or something like that? All right. So, let's do this morning. We're in our last week. So go to Acts chapter 2. As I already asked you to be there, and I'm not there. Let me get there. Acts chapter number 2. And let's look at these verses that have been our theme verses for this part of the series. It says in Acts 2, verse number 41. Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church, what's the next word? Daily. Such as should be saved. Their Christianity was an everyday experience. Not a once a week or twice a week or three times a week, but daily the church was seeing people come to know Christ. So the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so in this, we've talked about the importance of, help me out, the importance of compassion, hospitality, friendship we talked about, fellowship, what? Giving, attending, serving, service. Was there another one that I missed? I think we got them all there. I think that's all of the discussions that we talked about. So this morning, last week, we talked about the importance of, does anyone remember? Because that's the only one we haven't said yet, was last week's. We had giving, then we had a few weeks on serving last week. It was following, the importance of following. So if you remember, we talked about what godly leadership looks like, and then we talked about the response to that in godly fellowship, which we made up that word. So the importance of following. You can have a vision, you can have leadership, but it's only as powerful as those that are willing to follow and be a part of it. So today, finally, the last one is the importance of faithfulness. The importance of faithfulness. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. We see in Acts chapter 2, what we read there, that there was a great movement and a powerful revival or awakening and Pentecost and in the days following. But really, what would carry the church into the years, into the decades ahead, what would cause the church to fulfill the Great Commission so that they would go beyond Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. What enabled that to happen was the faithfulness of the men and women who became believers. Their faithfulness. Do you believe that every day or every month or every year was exciting as what took place the first days of Pentecost? Do you think every day was the rest of their lives was like that each and every day? Well, no, not the excitement. I mean, but what was the same as whether those, and that's what I'm saying. Every day was not like those first days at Pentecost. Some days involved struggles and difficulties and beatings for some and imprisonment for others. But what would propel the church into the uttermost parts of the world by the Spirit of God and by the grace of God was the faithfulness of individual men and women who would just be faithful to the cause. So, 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 1. I'm going to read verse 1, then I'd ask you to join me on verse number 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2 together. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That a man be found faithful. Let's pray. Dear God, I ask that you'd help us as we study this truth this morning. Help it to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We live in a fad-driven culture, do we not? And it's been that way, I would say, for at least 30 years, because that's about as long as I've been alive, and ever since I've been a kid, there's been all kinds of fads. There were probably fads that you experienced when you were young as well, but it's not going away. It's here to stay, a fad-driven culture. And really, it's the complete opposite of what it means to be a faithful person, right? A faithful person. Now, I think of faithful people, not even necessarily spiritually, although that's the most important part. But you can think of people in families who are faithful people, right? You can think of people just in life, and they're people that are stable. They're like a rock, and families have people like this, people that are anchor points for their friends and for their family and for the people that they love. They're people that can be counted on, people that are reliable, people that are dependable. And years and years and years go by. And it's not that the people are stuck in the mud and aren't willing to change with the times. It's not that at all. But the essence of their character, the foundation of who they are as people, remains unchanged. It remains consistent. And there's something that's powerful about that. But I think about the fact that we live in a fad-driven culture. Think about all of the fad diets that are out there, right? It was 10 years ago, it was the Atkins diet, where all you eat is meat and a lot of it. Just eat it. And then there's the no carb diet, and then there's the paleo diet, and then there's the plexus diet, and there's all of these things. And if you want to do one of those, great. I'm not here against that. But I'm just saying that there are things that rise up and things that go away. There are fads that come out. There are fads in groups. This month, it's the kickboxing club. And the next month, it's yoga. And then the next thing you know, people are having meetups with all their dogs where they all take them for a walk together. And am I making this stuff up? I mean, right? You see this stuff all around. People get involved in this group or that group, and they do this for a while, and they try that for a while. And it's not to say that any one of those groups is inherently bad, or even any one of those diets is inherently bad, but there's something about the human makeup that... It's not so much that the thing itself is a fad, It's that we are phase and fad driven sometimes. Exactly. And wanders. Doctrinally speaking, the Bible talks about those that are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. But in life, how about people's diets? There's a fad. Groups, products. I mean, when I was a kid, people were selling Amway. Today, people are selling essential oils. And people, it just goes, everything cycles around. There's a new thing, a new item, a new fad for people to follow. Music, that's a good one. There's music that has not changed for a few hundred years. There's the essence of what is good music, but as far as what is popular music, change it today, it changes faster than. I read an interesting article, actually, you got me thinking about something. There's some churches that make it their point to be very relevant with their music as much as possible. I read an article by a guy who actually is in favor of contemporary music, but he said, most likely, if you think that your church is relevant on the music scene, it probably is not. And what was popular in 1990 is not what's popular in 2000 or 2005. What was popular in 2015 is not popular in 2017. And if that surprises you, just ask a 16 or 17-year-old, and you'll see. So yeah, these things, these fads, people come, things come, popularity. And then along with that, people go through phases, and our culture even encourages that, right? With the whole Netflix binge thing you hear talked about a lot, where people will immerse themselves in something for hours and hours and hours or days at a time, and then pull out of that and throw all of their energies into something else. So all of these things, some of them are cultural things that, you know what, is this a bad thing? Is that a bad thing? That's not my point. My point is that it becomes especially dangerous when we treat our Christian life that way. And I've been at this long enough to know that, to have seen people that will, just like a fad or just like a phase, will throw themselves all into an area of their spiritual life. And then only months or a year or two later to pull out of that. And then maybe restart it again and go in this area or go in this direction. So this is kind of the key statement for the lesson this morning. And if you're taking notes, this would be the key statement. For one thing, before I even say it, faithfulness is there are blessings associated with living a faithful life. Understand that? There are blessings that are associated with a faithful life, but those blessings are not most often experienced immediately. So here's the key statement. The blessings of faithfulness are seen in the cumulative effect of hundreds of daily decisions over the course of years and decades. Not weeks and not months. The blessings of faithfulness are seen in the cumulative effect of hundreds of daily decisions over the course of years and decades, not weeks and months. But that's how people nowadays like to measure things. We like to measure things in the short term and in the immediate experience. And that's why everybody knows that when is the worst time to go to any gym in the United States of America. When is the worst time to go? Yeah, the first week of January. Just stay out of there because it's mobbed. People want to measure results in those gyms, you have the people that are faithful, right? And so that whole first 2 weeks of January, they're just looking around like, there they are. There they are. The resolutionists are here for the next few weeks. Let me ask you this. What describes, and let's talk about this for a minute, what describes a faithful Christian? How would you describe a faithful Christian? Give me some things here. Okay. Somebody else. Describe a faithful Christian. Okay. Somebody else. Describe a faithful Christian. Yeah. I like that. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Yeah. Somebody else. Faithful Christian. So we've contentment. Yeah. Contentment. Absolutely. I know how to abound, and I know how to be abased, to be poor. So, yeah. Somebody else describe a faithful Christian. So we've got some words here. We've got some people that are committed. We've got people that are content. We've got people that are consistent and constant in these areas throughout a period of years. Somebody else describe a faithful Christian. Just being there. Just being present. How about somebody that takes on I think of someone who takes on a responsibility and carries it through. And sees it to the end, and sees it to the finish. So, something, somebody else. What does a faithful Christian look like?
Submissive.
Yeah, that's a really good one, because a lot of times, what happens is, people respond to Christ, they respond to the Word of God, but then all of a sudden it affects their life in a place that they don't want it to. Right? You know what I mean? It's like, and as people grow in their Christian life, we come to points that are like, they're kind of like walls. And so a faithful Christian hits that wall, and it's uncomfortable, but they persevere by the grace of God, and they allow God to tear that wall down. And sometimes it's painful, but faithfulness sees through that. Somebody else? Faithful. What does a faithful Christian look like?
Mm-hmm. And the problem is when you're a lot of times you got to be there every day. All these guys don't take a lot of days off.
A lot of sick days, a lot of personal days.
They're entitled to that, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They don't always show up.
I gotcha. Yeah, I'm astounded at my place of employment, how many people just don't show up to work on a regular basis. I don't get it, but yeah, just to be there, just faithfulness. How about faithful in giving, right? We're going to come to a Faith Promise Missions Conference, and many of you could testify to times in your life when you made a commitment to the Lord, and your financial condition was great, and you made a commitment, and then your financial condition became ungreat, less than great. But a faithful person says, I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm going to continue. I'm not going to stop. Why would I stop? If the Lord has blessed me thus far, why would I go backwards? Somebody else. Faithful. What does a faithful Christian look like? Yeah. So the daily commitments. And Frank started with that kind of thing, to daily seek the Lord. There are so many little decisions that we have to make. And do you know what the truth of the matter is? In every single area that I just talked, that was just mentioned, if we lined our life up to every one of the things that each person said, some of us would look at this one and that one and that one and say, I'm faithful. Let's keep talking about those. But then we'd come down, up, we better skip over that one because I'm not very faithful there. Right? Right? Not there. Or I'm not very faithful. I'm not. In each of our lives, myself included, in each of those places, there's areas of faithfulness and unfaithfulness. So then what would describe a fad, and we'll take a little less time to do this, a fad-driven or phase-driven kind of a believer. I know a lot of the ways will just be the opposite of everything that we just said. But any thoughts on that? What would be somebody who is a phase or a fad-driven believer? Yeah, so I think there's actually two sides to that one. The opposite is true too. So some people, they find themselves in a period of trauma or difficulty in their life, and they run to God, Deborah's saying. And then when their situation is all better, they're out of there. They're like, well, okay, life is good now. But then there's the opposite. There's Christians that come to know the Lord, and their life is good, and then trouble comes, and then they say, this isn't what I signed up for, I'm out of here. That would be somebody that has a fad or a phase mentality in their Christian life. Somebody else, what would describe somebody, or in our lives, what describes that phase kind of attitude toward it? I was thinking, like, one of the ones I was thinking of is to be my level of engagement or involvement is based on the level of my emotion. You know what I mean by that? I mean, it's not so much that I don't feel good about my Christian life. I don't feel good about my life, so I just quit on the Lord. I give up. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I just don't feel like working on the bus ministry. I just don't feel like giving as much as I used to give. I just don't feel like doing those kinds of things. And in some ways, we can withdraw in our involvement in the work of the Lord based on our personal situation or our personal feelings. I've seen many, many Christians, and sometimes this comes from people just having a lack of balance in their life in general. I've seen, and we try, and I've tried to learn this from my dad over the years, is to be sensitive to how people get involved in the ministry. There are some people that will just, they'll get saved, they'll get involved, and they'll say, yeah, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do all of these things. And so as a church, we try to make sure we take time for people's, the foundation of their faith to be built, and for them to have time in the Word of God. That's why we ask people that teach Sunday school classes and people that are involved in those kinds of ministries to be in as many of the services as possible, so that they can be under the preaching and teaching, and that our souls are nourished so that we can serve, right? Because there is the possibility of burnout. And people that don't balance their Christian life with a walk with the Lord and service for the Lord, if you don't have both of those, then you will be phased and fad-driven. And you can be all involved, yeah, and then go through a state of depression or despondency and just pull way back. And that hurts the church, right? So anybody else, what describes a Christian who, instead of faithful, is more fad or phase-driven?
I would say some people want to do a job while they're sick, but then they don't want to work in that role because they don't have a seatbelt.
Okay. There are some people that will say, my involvement will be based on my likes, my preferences, or the attention of other people. So, yeah, okay. Somebody else. What's somebody that's in it for the phase and not for the not a life of faithfulness? Yep. Right? Yeah, and I would say even in general that Christians that, so Sarah's saying people, we think of like the Christmas and Easter kinds of Christians. There's a religious holiday, so I'm going to get involved in church. But I've noticed and observed that even people in their own seasons of the year, where they say, this is the time of year where I'm going to be faithful to church services, but this time of year I got lots of other stuff going on, so I'm not going to be there as much. Does that happen? Of course it does. So this describes somebody that they are coming in and out of church phase. Coming in and coming out. Coming in and coming out.
I think that's the biggest thing. In my experience, coming to church, there's people that were here from now to now and might not ever come back. But then there's people that walk away for a while and they come back for whatever reason. I don't know if that's really church, and as far as the faithful, I'm not sure how that affects it, but they might be very faithful, but how can you be faithful when you're not involved?
Yeah, well, they can have faith in God, but they're not being faithful to the Lord. And he's ever faithful to us. Aren't you thankful for that? And then our response to him is to say, I'm going, by your grace, going to live a life of faithfulness. So I think what Frank described is exactly what we've been talking about. And it's that whole idea of people saying, all right, I'm going to be faithful. And yeah, you see this in all areas of people's lives. I'll give for a while. Or I'll serve for a while. I'll do this for a while. And then something happens to pull out. Yes. Which is the theme of our lesson. This is part of discipleship. This is take discipleship personally. And a true disciple stands by it. You'll notice there were many, and a lot of people get confused when they look at the Gospels. Sometimes Jesus was speaking to everyone, calling them to believe on him. But other times he was talking just to the believers who would walk as his disciples. So the last thing I'll say, and we actually went longer on this than I thought we would. The last thing I'll say is that sometimes a fad or phase-driven kind of a Christian is also somebody who's affected by the fads and phases of others. What do I mean by that? I mean, well, if my friend is involved, or my spouse is involved, or if this person is involved, then it feels good to have other people in the work with you, doesn't it? Come on now. I mean, it really does to have people involved. But some people, someone else pulls back, someone else pulls away, and others will sometimes go with them, either by decision or just kind of subconsciously. So all of these things, we've identified here the difference between faithful as a believer or in a fad kind of mentality. So if you teach me to play the guitar, I won't be playing.
I'll tell you a story, you won't believe it, but it's true. Back when I was doing my teaching, there was this woman called up and she might take a title to what they're trying. She said, I want to learn to play like Joan Baez. I said, well, okay, we got to learn some fundamentals and do this and so forth. And we could look at what she did and so forth. So she came to her first lesson. And we went through some basics and whatever. And I said, well, so for next week, you want to look at this, and this. I'm not done with that next week. Well, I said, do that? She said, well, I just had a lesson. I can't play like Joan Baez. She was serious. She was serious.
So if you couldn't hear all of that, the woman comes for guitar lessons, and I don't know who Joan Baez is. Apparently, she's a world-renowned. You're looking at me like I should be ashamed of myself, or what? Okay, so, I mean, I know some of the guitar players. But anyway, so Joan Baez, she says, I want to play like Joan Baez. He says, okay, we'll work toward that. After one lesson, he gave her some homework. She says, no, I'm not doing that. And I'm not coming back because I had a lesson and I can't play like Joan Baez. So, so instant gratification. People think, but that's so true because some people will get involved in church expecting, well, I've come to church 4 times. My marriage should be fixed by now, right? I mean, what more? We chuckle and we laugh, but it's true. It happens. But listen, for you and I, if we're going to be faithful, it's not measured in weeks. It's not measured in months. It's measured in years and decades. Look at a couple of things. I've got 5 minutes to give you a few simple points. I'm not going to turn this into a two-parter. So look through these verses with me really quickly. First of all, it says in verse number 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, and what's the word?
Stewards.
In verse number 2, moreover, it is required in what? Stewards. Number 1, point number 1, jot it down. To be faithful, you have to understand your position as a steward. Very simply put, what we have does not belong to us, but belongs to who? To the Lord. My money is not my own. My home is not my own. My car is not my own. My family is not my own. My job is not my own. My time is not my own. My role in this life is to be a steward. If you don't understand who you are, what your position is, your life is going to be out of order. If I view my life as my own, if I view my money as my own, then I say, well, how much do I get to keep? But if I view my money as God's, I say, "But well, God, how much of it do you want? How much can I give back to you?" If I view my time as my own, you get it. You get how it plays out. But first of all, you've got to understand your position as a steward. Number two, look at verse 2. Moreover, it is what? Okay, number two, fulfill the requirement of the master. Fulfill the requirement of the master. He has some expectations for us. Wouldn't you, if you gave all of your wealth and riches and everything to the keeping of someone else, wouldn't you have some requirements for them? So number one, you've got to understand your position. You're a steward. I'm a steward. Number two, understand and fulfill the requirement of the master. Number three now, I want you to see verse 3. With me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Number three, be secure in your stewardship. Be secure in your stewardship. I actually have a whole message on that statement right there from this passage. The point is this. I'm not responsible for how Charlie answers to his master, because I'm not his master. And Charlie's not responsible for how Travis answers. And we compare ourselves one with another, right? And sometimes we can even become very insecure about that. Well, I can't do this, and I'm not that person, I'm not that. God's not looking for abundant and amazing talent. What's he looking for? It's the topic of this whole thing. Faithfulness. So I'm not you, you're not me, I'm not like you, you're not like me. We don't do this, we don't even have the same responsibilities, except in that we are called to be faithful. Be secure. So first of all, understand your role as a steward. Second of all, fulfill the requirement of the master. Third, be secure in your stewardship. Fourthly and finally, look at what are the last several words of verse number 4. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Number 4, be prepared for your judgment. Be prepared for your judgment. And I'll leave you with this. We will give an account for our stewardship. Right? The master, our faithfulness, there's this twofold dynamic that happens in the Christian life. God gives us rich, abundant blessings that we do not deserve. But then he also, and he gives it to us regardless. Listen, as believers, we are blessed whether we're faithful or not. I got to be honest with you. There is a blessing just in being a child of God. Is there not? Absolutely. But there are great blessings that also come by our faithfulness. And there is also a judgment that we should fear for our lack of faithfulness. How all of that works, should we be Christians that walk in terrible, trembling fear, worrying if we've been good enough for the grace of God? No, because his grace is given us. But then at the same time, are we called to have a bit of fear and trembling because we'll stand before God? We have. How does that all fit together perfectly? I don't know exactly. But the Bible presents both to us. And where it presents one, we teach it. And where it presents the other or both, we teach that too. The point is this, you will give account to God for how you raise your family, for how you spend your time, for how you give, for how you serve, because your role is a steward. And the one requirement we've been asked is not to be superstars, not to be rich, not to be this or not to be that human expectation, that what we've been asked is to be good stewards and to be found faithful. That's why at the end, the Lord is going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So let's be faithful. Again, to summarize the life of discipleship, if we're going to take it personally, be faithful. And by your life, by your actions, by your words, encourage those around you to be faithful too. Amen? And now you're thinking, if you could preach all four of those points in 7 minutes, how come we don't get that every time? But I don't know. Let's pray. Lord, we do love you, and we thank you that you are the faithful one. And we learn about our faithfulness to you because of your abundant faithfulness to us. So help us to walk with you consistently. We thank you that there's grace and mercy when we're weak and when we're unfaithful. But we pray that that would inspire us to be more faithful. So help us, we pray, and now prepare us for our worship service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're dismissed.